Get up out of bed, get up. Get up with Tim and Jess. Hit CQ.
Good morning, it's Tim and Jess on Hit CQ. 2 minutes past 6 a.m. Jess still not back. She'll be back in the next few days, just recovering after hurting her knee on Sunday. But that's all right. I caught up with her yesterday. She's feeling good. She misses you. She misses coming into work, but she's getting better and she needs to rest, so she'll be back as soon as she can. We're still going to have some fun for the next 3 hours of the show today. Coming up after 8 o'clock, I'm going to put another person on the standby list to go and see the Backstreet Boys on our world-famous rooftop in Vegas. I'm going to let you know exactly how you can do that across the morning, so make sure you are listening out as well as playing Spell My Name. If you have a name, congratulations, you're eligible for the game. It's super complicated, the rules. If you have a name, you call up, you tell me the name, and I try and spell it. I have less chance of getting it this week because Jess and I normally work as a team. We have 6 opportunities, so now I'm only going to have 3 chances. But that's all right. I think I can do okay. Coming up next, though, look, there's a certain type of device that's been created by certain individuals that I think we've all seen, and I don't think they're very popular or available to buy. Talking about special time robots that were designed so that people can have special times kind of whenever they like, but maybe not so much anymore.
Tim and Jess. Catch up weekday mornings from 5 on Hit.
Look, it's early, so I feel like we can talk about this, but sex robots, they're created, obviously, for intimate moments between a person and a machine. If that's for you, good on you. I don't know if you can actually buy them in Australia, but the whole point of these bots is for people that maybe are lonely or whatever your reason it is, and to, I don't know, make sweet, tender love to this robot thing, right? But new bots are being created, and I think it's actually a smart thing that they've done. New robots may turn down these steamy romp sessions if they're not in the mood. They're being programmed when you're trying to cuddle up to your little cyberbot. They're being programmed to make an automated response saying maybe they've got a headache or maybe they're not in the mood. And they've been invented with intelligence to go on strike, shut down completely if pestered when not in that mood. Now, the ability to say no was demonstrated to an audience in the UK during a showing. The robot has sensors under the skin, so it can respond to affection like a real-life human, but also has a revolutionary electronic brain which puts puts it in charge of the bedroom. So essentially it's teaching that you can't always just have what you want when you want it. And I understand that's the point of these robots, but I think it's a great message because human beings, you can't just have anything you want as soon as you want it. I understand that robot was that service, but it's kind of interesting to see that they've created the software, which it blows my mind that someone's worked on this technology to be able for these robots, these cyborgs, to be able to process yeses and nos and using all that information they're getting from it, if they're being used or not. It's blowing my mind. And who would have... I guess it is a bit discouraging for those people that have bought some of these robots because you go in thinking, well, I'm head of the house. I'm in charge now. Oh, what's that? Oh, sorry, you weren't charged? Oh, circuit in the system? Oh, that's not good. That's not good at all.
Trending now at hit.com.au.
The biggest trending stories across Australia and central Queensland. And Jess, she is away. She'll be back as soon as she can. And look, I think we've all been aware that Australia is one of the largest countries in the world, not only in size, but unfortunately in obesity across the world. It is really sad to hear that Australia is so high on the obesity charts. And new figures have come through for 2017 and 2018, confirming and if not even pushing the boundaries just a little bit more. Australia is higher than the US for obesity amongst young children. Diabetes is one of the most prevalent health issues that we have here in Australia. And unfortunately, most Australian adults are overweight. So It's unfortunate. From 1995 to 2015, the proportion of severely obese adults in Australia, it's almost doubled. The cause of death was similar in 2006 and 2016. Coronary heart disease, the biggest killer for males, on 13%, which is terrible to hear. So almost half of Australians aged 16 to 85 years old will experience a mental illness as well, most commonly anxiety, substance or disorders, or mood disorders as well. So it's not just obesity, but it seems like Australia is getting higher and higher on these lists. But I understand there's more information, more access to this information. So just getting the statistics correct can sometimes take a bit of time. But it is sad to see. And hopefully, because promoting health amongst young children here in Australia, it is so important. It is so important. So look, I hope this isn't a slap in the face. It's just about figuring out that we all need to be a healthier nation. You can check out that story and more at hit.com.au.
This is the Tim and Jess catch-up on Hit.
No one likes a thief, and sometimes people steal weird things. And this bloke in New Zealand, I hope you've never, well, if you're listening, I hope you've never stolen. But if you have stolen, I hope it's nothing like this, because a New Zealand bloke has stole human toes from a dead body exhibition. So it's happened last month. 28-year-old man visited the Body World's Vital Exhibition in Auckland, kind of like the National Body Museum that you see in here in Australia. And he just started stealing toes. There was toes in like a viewing in an exhibition thing. He just started racking them up. These toes, first of all, I don't know how they valued these, but they're valued at $5,500 each. I don't know whose toes that were stolen, whether it's like important historical New Zealand toes or celebrity toes. I'm not sure, but it's $5,500 each these toes are valued at. He's remained in custody. They arrested him. He faces 7 years in prison for stealing the toes and 2 years for interfering with a dead body. So 9 years all up. It's incredible because it's the first time in the history of this museum that they've ever said they've experienced someone stealing their toes. And I don't know, do you get a year for every toe you've stolen? Like, if he stole seven toes, is that why he's being offered 7 years? And the extra two is just kind of a pat on the head, as don't do that again, champion. Why are you stealing toes? I don't know what, like, where can you sell toes? On the black market, like a toe black market? I don't think that exists in New Zealand, let alone anywhere else in the world. So this is a bit strange. So if you're thinking, maybe I should steal some toes, clearly it doesn't work out. Because, you know, there is the little nursery rhyme of this little piggy went to the market, this little piggy went home. Well, this little piggy's going to prison.
Tim and Jess. Catch up weekday mornings from 5 on Hit.
Do you work with your partner? Does it work? Because Jay-Z and Beyonce have just released an album together. It's not by Jay-Z or Beyonce, or Jay-Z and featuring Beyonce, or other way around. It's by the Carters. That's the name that they're going by, because they've created, produced, and released this album together. It's called Everything Is Love. Dropped yesterday. We were talking about it during You Be The Judge, because I may have said that Beyonce is a little bit overrated. But then I was thinking about it even more, because Jamie from Gracemere, who called up, got me thinking about the album itself. And it is interesting to see that the husband and wife there, or whatever it is, whether it's boyfriend, girlfriend, boyfriend, boyfriend, whatever it is, working together. Because it is a tricky situation. A lot of companies have policies where it's not banned that staff members date. Obviously, if you meet at work, it's a bit tricky. But say if you're, say I work here at the radio station, it's not banned that my girlfriend can't get a job here, but they try and avoid it as best possible, because whatever happens in personal life, worst case scenario, can affect the business. And I understand that completely. But I do think it's interesting about couples working together, deciding to work on a project together at home, or even that's their job. So, because imagine the arguments that could happen. I know, work is where work happens. Like, you can't take, obviously, all feelings into account. Like, sometimes there has to be hard decisions made where people don't agree. So, 13, 12, 16, do you work with your partner? Does it work or doesn't it work? Let me know. I need to see if this album by Beyonce and Jay-Z, a.k.a. the Carters, is going to do well, because there could be a rap breakdown that's just them arguing. I'd listen to that song. Connor from Rockhampton called through. Connor, do you work with your partner, mate?
Yeah, mate, I sure do.
Yeah, mate, what do you do for work?
I'm a sweet potato farmer, mate.
Sweet potato. So what does it work with you and your partner, or is there tricky situations where it gets brought back home with, well, you shouldn't have spoken to me like that at work today?
Nah, definitely, mate. Nah, it definitely doesn't, you know.
So you're able in your relationship to remove yourself from that, from whatever happens at work?
Oh, most definitely.
Mate, full whatever credit to you. That's work, impressive.
Work. We actually have a good relationship at work. We have fun, laughs.
That's awesome, mate. It's good to hear, because you can understand that there would be, looking from an external point, it would be like, oh, it's a risky move, because you don't want things in your work to affect your personal life. You don't want things in your personal life to affect your work life. It's a dangerous mix, but if it works for you, Connor, I'm absolutely chuffed for you, champion.
Yeah, mate, it definitely does. And yeah, we were a bit worried, but no, it's good.
Well, that's the thing, you can only try, and if worse comes to worse, say you start working together and it doesn't work out, you can just figure out and be like, all right, maybe one of us maybe should move around, because we don't want this to affect long time. So Connor, I think you're an absolute legend, mate. Good work.
Thanks, mate. You have a good day. Trending now at hit.com.au.
Joined now by our Hollywood Entertainment reporter, Dean McCarthy. And Dean, a new show's coming to Broadway. I've heard that it's bad, but it's good.
You are so clever. I got that. I like where you went with that. Michael Jackson, the musical, is happening 2020. So, you know what? Don't hold your breath. It's not exactly soon, but it's going to be incredible. And just like you said, is it bad? Is it good? It'll be everything. But what is surprising me, how did it ever take this long to happen?
I'm sure that maybe the getting the rights for everything and, like, Broadway, yeah. They've probably been booked so far in advance that they've just been waiting for their turn.
Yeah, you're right about that. Like, it certainly is something that needs a lot of planning. But what's interesting, they're getting Lynn Nottage to write to be the playwright. Now, this is a Pulitzer Prize winner, okay? Like, she did Ruin, she did Sweat in 2017. Like, mega, mega, seriously, seriously good at this. So it's going to be phenomenal. No word yet on who will play Michael Jackson. Will it be me?
I think so. You've got a good voice, Dean.
We look very similar. Like, I mean, you know, I can see it.
Well, Broadway in New York City is an incredible place. If you've never been, the time I was there, it's kind of like everything that you see in the movies, but it's kind of hard to realise that you're actually there. So being there and seeing a Michael Jackson show would be quite unbelievable.
It'd be phenomenal. It would absolutely be. It will be such a success. Yep. So I'm just to see who they get to be the cast, but the music will be incredible.
Yeah, Dean, I'm looking forward to seeing you as Michael Jackson in 2020, so fingers crossed, mate. Thanks, though.
Thank you. Bye, guys.
Thanks, Dino. Chat to you tomorrow, champion. You can check out all that and more at hit.com.au. But coming up next, if you've got a name, congratulations. You're eligible to play this game. It's the most complicated way to play a radio game. It's called Spell My Name. I'll run you through the rules up next. But as I said, if you've got a name, you can play.
This is the Tim and Jess catch-up on Hit.
Spell my name, something multicultural, something that's a mouthful, baby, spell my name.
Spell my name, spell my name.
We think we can guess it, you will be so stressing, let us spell your name.
Yes, spell my name. If you've never heard the game before, congratulations, I'm about to change your life forever. Spell my name, it's pretty simple. On 13, 12, 16, you call up. You tell me your name. It could be any name you want. It could be your first name, middle name, last name, nickname. Haven't had a nickname yet. And I try and spell it. I have a new tactic to try and spell the names this week. Technically, if you beat me and I don't spell your name correctly, you get nothing. But if I get it right, I also get nothing. So we're on the same even playing field. How exciting is that? But 13, 12, 16, give us a call. I'm going to try and spell your name. But my new tactic is I'm going to actually write down the name on a piece of paper so that my brain can process a lot easier, because I think that's where my downfall is. So 13, 12, 16, if you want to play Spell My Name. Jess is not here today, so that means I'm by myself. I have a new tactic of actually writing down the names. I feel like I just do it inside my head and it's a lot easier when I write it down. But we are playing on 13, 12, 16. Spell my name and my new strategy hopefully will get me over the line. Hello, who's this?
This is Kathy.
Kathy, where are you from?
Rockhampton.
All right, Kathy, I'm just going to go K-A-T-H-Y. I feel like you're trying to trick me with it, thinking it's C.
No, it's my last name. My name's Kathy, K-A-S-S-I-E. So my last name is mixed up.
Kathy, you tricked me. You tricked me. That's all right. You won. Congratulations. Hello, who's this?
Hi, this is Michelle.
Michelle. And Michelle, am I spelling your first name or your last name?
No, you're spelling my daughter's name.
All right, what's your daughter's name?
Her name is Ariel.
Ariel? All right.
Yes.
All right. A-R-I-E-L-L-E.
Oh, you got it.
My new tactic's working. I think I know someone named Ariel. I think that's why.
Oh, really? I even have family that doesn't pronounce her name right. They call her Ariel, like Ariel. The Little Mermaid.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so happy. Thank you so much. I needed a pick-me-up today.
Well, congratulations. Well done.
Thank you very much.
No worries. Bye.
And I got Ashley from Emerald on 13, 12, 16. Now, Ashley, I'm spelling your last name. What is it?
Katinsky.
Oh, righto, mate. That's not fair. All right. Katinsky. K-A-T-I-N-S-K-I.
No.
Did I get close at least?
Oh, you got a few letters there.
Yeah, how's the real spelling?
It's K-U-C-Z-Y-N-S-K-I. K-I.
I've never been more offended in my life playing this game. That's... all right, if I spelled that first guy, I feel like I should have won $1,000 because that's almost impossible.
Oh, absolutely.
But thanks for your call, mate.
No worries. Bye.
See you, buddy. That's probably my least favourite one, Katinsky. I appreciate the call, but I feel like that was a verbal slap in the face. Trending now at hit.com.au. The biggest trending stories across Australia and central Queensland. And until Jess is back, I get to decide what is in trending now. What's big? What's most important to you? And look, don't want to alarm you, but Australia's just won an award at the International Toilet Tourism Awards. So look, get ready, because the Cummins Mosaic Loo in the Eyre Peninsula, South Australia, has been voted the best public toilet in the world. They're judged on design, quirkiness, location, accessibility, and economic contribution to their locality. So essentially showing how smart and how local we can be. It was incredible. The local community covered a bland red brick wall with the former railway station into a public loo with personality, like a mosaic with shattered up tiles of a former train conductor that was well known in the area. So the best public toilets are here in Australia, and specifically the greatest public toilet is in South Australia. Tim and Jess. Catch up weekday mornings from 5 on Hit. Very excited to announce that some incredible musicians are going to be heading to central Queensland over the next 6 or 7 months, specifically to Yeppoon, and got a bit of an announcement.
Hit presents The Beach Rocks at the Strand Hotel.
That's right, The Beach Rocks at the Strand Hotel in Yeppoon. Very excited. Over the next 6 months, some huge names are going to be coming, playing alongside the beautiful beach, and are very lucky to be joined on the phone now by the general manager, Jason Watkins. Thank you very much for joining us, Jason.
Well, thanks very much, Timmy. How are you?
I'm good, mate, and I'm red-hot excited because next Friday, with The Strand, Hockey Dad's coming. And it's not just Hockey Dad coming to town over the next few months. So many great acts. Can you tell everyone what your whole purpose is with what you're doing with this music here in Yeppoon?
Well, the way I see it, Tim, is we go to all the big cities to watch these bands. We go and go to Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane. So The Strand Hotel is going to be bringing them to Yeppoon.
It's so exciting to see this different style of music, because as you said, I've headed to the city to see some bands recently because that's where they go. But it's great when bands come up into central Queensland, and there's such a setting in Yeppoon at the Strand Hotel. Like, it's the exact thing that when people think of central Queensland, it's a beautiful beach. It's a pub looking over the beach. It's a beautiful bar. I think it's a perfect setting for these shows.
Well, it is the best settings, and the Strand Hotel has been doing live music for the last 30 years. So what we're doing is we're stepping it up. We're giving what the patrons want, and we've been speaking to some of the biggest managers of bands in Australia. We've got actually in talks with Ocean Alley, Sticky Fingers, Violent Soho, The Rubens. It just goes on and on and on and on. So for the next 6 months, it's going to be massive.
Well, I was going to say, it's great to see like the support of Australian bands, because if Australian music's going to grow, we actually have to support them and just not have them as side acts for bigger bands that come through. So focusing on these, especially kicking off with Hockey Dad, like I'm so excited to head up there. Their music is new. It's nothing like I've heard before. And it really suits the Central Queensland kind of vibe.
Well, absolutely. Like this band, Hockey Dad, has just spent the last 4 weeks over New Zealand and they've just finished their American tour. They're coming straight from Arizona the next weekend, Yeppoon. So they are definitely one of the up-and-coming youth bands of not just Australia, but I reckon that they've got a good showing in the world as well.
I'm really looking forward to getting down to see Hockey Dad on the 30th of June at The Strand. Thank you very much for chatting to us, the general manager of The Strand, Jason Watkins.
Thank you very much, guys. See you for Hockey Dad.
Yeah, very excited. We're going to let you know all more about Hockey Dad and introduce you to them over the next few days. And we're very excited because this is going to keep happening for the next few months with Beats Rocks at The Strand.
This is the Tim and Jess catch-up on Hit.
But before I leave, I thought I'd cause some tension for you right now by revealing who's the smartest sibling in your family. You could think it's young, you could think it's old. Well, I can confirm that three universities, Houston, New South Wales and Sheffield, have all decided that eldest siblings are the smartest. Now, the reason this is because these magnitudes of these birth order effects are substantial. They found that older siblings tend to feel more confident in their intelligence, and younger siblings are more likely to lack confidence in their scholastic ability. So unfortunately, and I disagree because I'm a younger sibling, I've got an older sister, and it is quite tricky because essentially they're saying it just goes down the more siblings you have. So if you're one of three, it most likely, obviously everyone's different, but it will most likely go eldest, middle, youngest, in that order. But if you have five or six siblings, it's same. It goes in that exact same order. One to six, most likely, they have a more opportunity to be the more intelligent sibling. It's tricky when they don't include maths in the study, though. And it's because maths are a skill generally only taught in classroom, where a lot of other ones are taught by our family members feel like they can help out. At home with English, science, those kinds of things, maths is the thing that people really struggle with. And it's really, I hope it hasn't upset you, but it's upset me leading into my Wednesday morning because now I have to call my sister and finally cave and tell her that she was right all along when she was smarter. Yes, she got a higher high school score than me. Yes, she went to university, a proper university, and I didn't. And yes, she's got a better job than I do, but I don't care because I think I'm smarter anyway. Even though all the science is absolutely against me.
Tim and Jess. Catch up weekday mornings from 5 on Hit.